Welcome to the Victory Through the Word broadcast. Today, Minister Will Wesley would teach and preach the Word of God. We believe that the only way to be victorious in this life is to be taught and to understand God's Word. It is our prayer that you receive the Word with gladness and let it increase your faith so that you can receive your victory.
Welcome to the Victory Through the Word broadcast. Good morning, good morning. Boy, I tell you, this is the day that God has made, and we are thankful for every day that God has given us. We're expecting great things from God this day. I'm so glad that you joined us this morning. I know that this is going to be a blessing for you, and I'm really excited about the broadcast today. I have the privilege and the honor of bringing a couple real good friends of mine in the Lord to share with us today. And we're going to continue in our study from the book of Romans, and we're going to continue talking about and teaching on the subject of the righteousness of God and how God, I want you to understand it. And, you know, I've got a couple of friends of mine I said that we're bringing on today that's joined us. We've got Minister Doolin Foster, a good friend of mine that's been gifted and walks in the prophetic gifts, a tremendous man of God. And I'm excited about what he'll be able to bring for us today. Mr. Doolin, welcome.
Thank you, sir. I'm excited to be with you today.
Amen. Amen. And I've got Pastor Dino Masella, a good friend of mine. He is the pastor and president of Family Faith Ministries. And I tell you, he's just been a faithful brother in the Lord that's just kind of walked with me, and I walk with him. And, man, I tell you what, we do some things. So welcome, Dino.
Thanks, Will. It's great to be here again. Thanks for having me back.
Amen. All Amen. Right. Well, I'm excited about what God is going to say this day, so I want y'all to get your Bibles out. I want you to listen very intently, because I believe that God is going to speak directly to you today as we talk about this great subject of the very righteousness of God. Now, many of you know, because I've quoted this so many times, and I know you know this, but the Bible says, Jesus said, Matthew 6:33, he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And I'm telling you this day that I believe that God has spoke to my heart, and God has said to me that he wants me to teach and preach on the subject of righteousness until he tells me to stop. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to obey God. Well, somebody say, well, I don't know if I would want to do all of that. I don't believe. Well, I don't work for you. I work for Jesus. And I'm going to do what he said do, because he said obey. And as I was meditating on that very thing this week and stuff, I believe that God began to just speak to my heart and say that one of the reasons why God is saying this is because in the body of Christ, you know, when people look at Matthew 6:33, it says, seek first the kingdom of God. And in the Amplified, it defines kingdom of God as God's ways of doing things. How does God operate in his kingdom? And many Christians all over the world have spent all of their time looking at how God functions and how God does things. And that's good. But it's almost out of balance, because that scripture didn't stop right there. Mm-hmm. It says, seek first the kingdom of God. Then it says, and his righteousness. Mm-hmm. And that word and means that those two are joined, that they are, one is conditioned on the other. They are both needed. It's not optional. See, and a lot of people think that it is, and they don't really spend much time talking about his righteousness. How do I know that? I know that because when I hear what some people have to say about the righteousness of God, it just, I'm baffled somewhat, but it just tells me that they just don't know. And a lot of people don't know because they don't realize, they don't really realize that they are really the righteousness of God. Mm-hmm. You've got the righteousness of God that Jesus gave you. Mm-hmm. You know, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, he who knew no sin was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's who you are today. And we're going to continue on the subject that we've been teaching on, and that is righteousness. Let me give you a quick definition, because many times people confuse the difference between righteousness and holiness. Righteousness is what you are. It's the part of you, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. That's who you are. You are a new creation. One translation says, you are a being that's never before been seen on planet Earth. That's who you are, Brother Doolin.
Amen.
You are a new creation.
Brand new.
And then it goes on that same verse, that same chapter, down to verse 21 that I quoted a minute ago, where it says in verse 21 that the great exchange took place. Jesus became your sin, and then you became his righteousness. Mm. And you know, folks, there's nothing that you could have done to have earned that. And you didn't have to, because God gave it to you. And so last week, we started off with Romans chapter 4 and verse 1. And we're gonna pick up from there. And we're going to believe that God is going to help us to understand just a little bit more. You know, the Bible says that we grow line upon line
precept
upon precept.
Amen.
I like how God thinks. He said, here a little, there a little.
Amen.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
And God is growing us that. So we're going to start off, we're going to read that, and we're going to get just right into the Word here. So if I can find this, Romans chapter 4. Okay, here we go. Romans chapter 4 and verse 1, and I'm reading from the Amplified. It says, but if so, what shall we say about Abraham, our forefather, humanly speaking? What did he find out? How does this affect his position, and what was gained for him? Verse 2, for if Abraham were justified, established as just by acquittance from guilt by good works, then he has grounds for boasting, but not before God.
Mm-hmm.
Paul is making it very clear here that Abraham was not made just before God because of his good works.
Amen.
That's right.
And you know, as believers, we need to get to the place where we understand that we do not go to heaven because we go to church.
Amen.
We don't go to heaven because we prophesy.
Amen.
We don't go to heaven because we cast out devils. We don't.
Amen.
We go to heaven because of our faith. Amen. In what Jesus did, and faith that you're the righteousness of God.
Amen.
That's amen.
Right.
Amen.
That's right.
You know, we are right with God. And so Paul is laying the foundation here, because this was so radical to what they believed back then.
Mm-hmm.
They came from a system of the law. And you know, it was all based on your works. Now, after Jesus came and paid that, he set that aside.
Yeah.
He set that aside. And he set it aside for this thing called faith. And if you have a gospel, I'm going to go back to another verse here. You guys join in now. If you don't sit over quiet now. You know, you were quiet a minute ago.
You know, you were talking, Brother Will, about the people in this time, that's what they understood was the law. Mm-hmm. And it's like today.
Yeah.
There's too many in the body of Christ today that's the concept that they understand is law according to works.
Mm-hmm.
And not grace.
That's right.
And that it's not something that we earn.
Mm-hmm.
It's a gift.
Mm-hmm. Almost like we apologize for grace. You know, it's like we talk about grace sometimes in some you know, religious circles about grace as being something that's bad.
And grace is Jesus.
Yeah.
That's what I don't understand. How can you throw out grace when grace is Jesus?
Mm-hmm. And you know, and it means that you're not under the law.
Right.
And when it's by grace, it does the same thing that Paul just described here. Mm-hmm. For Abraham. It says, because it wasn't by his works,
mm-hmm.
that sets aside boasting.
Mm-hmm.
And how many times have you talked to someone that's a believer that will talk about all the stuff they've done, all the stuff that they do?
Mm.
You know, it's like they want you to, you know, listen
recognize
that, mm-hmm. well, I've done this, I've done that. You know, and it almost kind of reminds me of the Pharisees.
Right.
When they would walk around and talk about, I did this, you know, beating on their chest, I've done this, I've done that. And, you know, they thought of themselves as being more than what they really were.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Paul made it very clear here that in that verse 2 that I just read, it says, for if Abraham were justified by good works, mm-hmm. he has grounds for boasting.
Mm-hmm.
See? So So we got to get away from that, because there will be no boasting in heaven.
Right.
Everybody will get that through their head. There will be no boasting in heaven.
We don't make heaven because we earned the opportunity to make heaven.
That's right.
We earn heaven. We get to heaven because it's a gift.
It's a gift. Now, what's wrong with that? Why is it so hard for people to accept that it's a gift? Because right now, I guarantee you that there are some people that are walking in condemnation because of something that they've done, their behavior. I'm not saying that maybe what they did, it was wrong. But there's no reason for you to walk around under condemnation and guilt.
Why are believers walking in condemnation? When the word declared, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ and who walk uprightly. Does that mean that we're perfect in our walk? No. Mm-hmm. But he said, there is for now no condemnation. So why do we condemn ourselves, mm-hmm. and why do we condemn others, mm-hmm. when Scripture clearly states there is therefore now no condemnation? Mm-hmm. So we don't have to walk around with our tail between our legs, mm-hmm. and feel condemned that God doesn't love me, and I got to go to church on Sunday and mm-hmm. give my three repentances to mm-hmm. pastor and mm-hmm. and make it to mm-hmm. the next Sunday. Mm-hmm. When all we got to do is just live according to grace, according to the word. That's We're not throwing out the law.
Right.
We're not throwing out the law. You got to have law. Law is the foundation. Mm-hmm. Can't throw that out with the bathwater. Mm-hmm. We got to have that. Mm-hmm. But what we got to understand is you can't live under the condemnation mm-hmm. of the law that said, if you don't. Mm-hmm. That's where we got to understand that.
And that's one of the benefits of being made the righteousness of God. And yes. It says that in Romans 5. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace yes. with God. Goes along with what you're saying, because if you're mad at me, am I at peace with you? Mm-mm. If I done went out and kicked the rims on your car and keyed your car or something, done right. something, and I think you're halfway mad at me, am I at peace with you?
No.
See, and that's where the enemy wants us to be. But the Bible says, therefore being justified
yeah.
by faith,
yeah.
we have peace.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That means God ain't mad at you.
That's justified.
Right. Praise
justified.
God.
You yes. know what that word justified means?
Say so.
That word justified means declared righteous.
Yes.
Made righteous.
That declared means righteous. When you declare something, Brother Masella.
Yes.
If I look at you and I declare something, that means I speak something out of my mouth. I'm mm-hmm. declaring
yes.
something to you. God has declared to us, because when we have faith in it, he declares that we are right.
Mm-hmm.
He said, that man is right.
Yes.
That woman is right. Yes. God declared that.
Yep.
See?
Yep.
And because he declared it, you know, it's here. It's a real thing right now. You are the righteousness of God. You are as right with God as you will ever be.
Amen.
Because you're not going to get any more righteous.
No.
You're never going to get any more righteous.
Yes.
Because whose righteousness do you have?
Christ.
The righteousness you got Jesus
God,
right.
Jesus. Yes. Christ Jesus.
That's right.
Yes.
It ain't never going to get no better.
No.
You know? And we need to understand there's a difference between righteousness and holiness.
Mm.
Okay? Righteousness is what you are. That's what he made you.
Yes.
2 Corinthians 5:21. He made you his righteousness. Holiness is your conduct. Holiness is the goody-goody way you act, you know. And I want to say this, and I challenge those that are listening to this, that you go out and read this for yourself. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says that without holiness, it says no man shall see the Lord, okay?
Yep.
And I've heard people quote that as if to imply that if you don't have perfect behavior, you ain't going to make it to heaven. See, and that's not really what that scripture is talking about at all. For you to make that scripture say that, you've got to pull that scripture out of context and say that. And when you interpret scripture, you interpret scripture in the light of the context that it's in,
yeah.
and in the light of other scriptures in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
See, because when you believe like that, when you believe that interpretation of that verse, you're believing that somehow your works, your conduct, your behavior is what is responsible for you seeing the Lord. And that's not true.
Mm-mm.
When we go back and read that in its context of Hebrews chapter 12, we find that it's talking about your witness. And it's talking about, in the context of that, it's talking about your witness before the world. See? And it talks about how God disciplines us because he wants us to have the same holiness. Now, he's talking about disciplining someone who is already his son. But their behavior ain't right.
Mm-hmm.
So, they're already his son.
Yes.
Their behavior is not right because it says if you're not a son, he don't discipline
you.
That's
good, man.
Yeah. That is good.
But you're already his son. You're right. Already his child. So, he's disciplining you so that, at verse, you'll read that in Hebrews 12, so that your holiness will be the same kind of holiness that he wants you to have.
Yeah.
And by having that holiness, the world can see God. They can't see God. If you're walking around acting, doing all kind of stuff, lying, cheating, and they ain't gonna see God in you. They can't. Matter of fact, the devil loves that because he'll run around. Now, you might be saved. You might be living and walking and doing something that you ain't supposed to be doing. And the devil loves to go and point that out to people that's out there that's going their way to hell and say, well, you know what? You see that preacher over there? That preacher ain't right. He was over in the club the other night. So, you can't believe him. They're all hypocrites. Mm-hmm. You okay? Go and do what you're doing.
Right.
See, they can't see God. They can't see God. The Bible says that all of our lives are epistles read by men. And so that's where holiness comes in. Holiness is not so that, I'm going to live a holy life so I can go to heaven. Well, no, that's not true. See, because in the context, it's talking about your witness. Go read it, Hebrews chapter 12.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then it would contradict other scriptures, simple scriptures like Ephesians 2:8-9. Everybody know that. For by grace are we saved through faith.
Through faith.
It's a gift of God, not by works. Not by works, lest any man should boast.
Amen. Oh, yeah. You said something that's powerful, Will. Many times the enemy will distract us. Well, you see what that preacher did over there? He did this. Or see what that brother or sister in Christ did? He did that over there. All the while, we got to realize, what is the enemy really doing? He's distracting us from what the real issue is.
Mm.
He wants us to look at something else other than what God is wanting us to look at.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's distracting us and putting our attention over on you. Let's not focus on me and my growth and how well I'm growing in Christ and the things that I am laying before the feet of Jesus and saying, God, I want to be pure and holy in your sight. I want to be righteous in your sight.
Mm-hmm.
I want to live how you want me to live. The enemy uses manipulation, which we know as scripture says that's witchcraft, to say, look at what your neighbor is doing.
Mm-hmm.
Look at what the man of God is doing. So he's changing the focus, making us think as though that's more important.
Mm-hmm.
When all reality, he's just trying to get us off focus and off a gear of what God wants us to do.
Mm-hmm.
If we'll just stay the focus and don't pay attention to that, we won't have to worry about none of that because we'll grow and mature and we won't be so quick to point the finger and say, look at what my brother is doing.
That's right.
Isn't it interesting that, think about this. If God tells us something one time, we take it seriously, right?
Mm-hmm.
If he tells us something two times, he means business. Three times, we know he's pretty serious, right? And if you think about in the Gospels, I'm talking about an identity crisis here, a case of mistaken identity, and how when the sonship of Jesus Christ was revealed in Matthew, in Mark, and Luke. Even the whole book of John reveals Christ's identity, who he is as the Son of God, and who God says he is. This is my Son in whom I am well pleased, right?
Yes.
Isn't it interesting now, in two of those Gospels, the very next chapter, when the tempter comes, what's the first thing that he tempts Christ with?
If
you are.
He goes after his identity.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, if believers
that's good.
Can
that's
get over that.
That is
man,
good.
Yeah.
And we can see who God says we are and not let the devil challenge our identity as we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
You know, we can go beyond that. We can live and reign as kings.
Mm-hmm.
We got to quit praying, Lord, I got to get more righteous because he already says we are righteous.
We are.
We are the righteousness of Christ.
Yeah.
And that's why we have to understand it. And that's why I believe Jesus in Matthew chapter 6 was talking about stuff. Mm-hmm. He was talking about, if you read that chapter, he's talking about people worrying about clothes and where am I going to get food and where am I going
to
get a job
to worry about
and where am I going to find a husband and where am I going to find a wife. See, Jesus was saying in that he got down to verse 33, he says, let me just sum this up for you. Mm-hmm. He says, this is what you should be doing. He says, seek first
the kingdom of God. Yeah.
And his righteousness.
And yes.
His righteousness. Now you see why the righteousness is so important? For the very reasons that you just described, because God wants us to have, he wants us to know who we are in him.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's where your strength is. Your strength is not who you are because you some name you done made up for yourself.
Right.
No, it's because of the fact that you have his righteousness.
Yeah.
You know, you got his armor.
Brother Will, this says the meaning of but seek in mm-hmm. my notes.
Mm-hmm.
It references to look at this in my notes. It says to hunt eagerly.
Mm-hmm.
But mm-hmm. to seek you first. To hunt eagerly first the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
That just changes the whole perspective of that. It changes the whole view of that in my mind, that it's not just but seek ye first, but mm-hmm. to hunt for it eagerly.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That's good.
Seeking.
Yeah.
I always tell, listen, I know when I've taught on this before, I spent a lot of time in the military, about almost 9 years in the Air Force.
Mm-hmm.
And I always had this thing. I work with fighter aircraft, with radar, and we control them. But I understood and knew, and we had missiles that whenever they were targeting something, they had seekers mm-hmm. on the end of those missile mm-hmm. heads.
Yeah.
When they were locked on you, you had to lock onto something.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't just randomly look out in space and you fire it.
That's
no,
good.
Man. It locked onto something, and when it locked on it,
yeah.
no matter what that enemy plane did, mm-hmm. that missile mirrored
yes.
what it did. It sought it.
Yeah.
Till it made contact.
Say that. Oh that's good.
That's what God is saying. That's the picture that he's speaking. This is how intense.
Yeah.
I like what you just said. This is how intense it's supposed to be when it comes to us looking for how things operate in the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
This takes us out of the seeker for a service who is just going in to be pleased and their ears to be tickled.
Mm-hmm.
We're now seeking and hungering for the righteousness of Christ,
mm-hmm.
for a relationship with mm-hmm. him that mm-hmm. says, I want to know you and mm-hmm. in the most intimate way of friendship that I can speak Abba, Father,
mm-hmm.
and I can talk with you and you can talk with me, Father, and he'll give us what we need to have. He's already given it to us in our word and gives us the inspiration by the Holy Spirit that as we seek him, mm-hmm. we get to know him. He said, what did he say? Seek and you'll find.
That's right.
Too many people are wondering if God is this mysterious thing in the church, and he's not. He gave us directions. Seek and you will find. Ask
mm-hmm.
and you shall receive.
Mm-hmm.
So why are we, you know, I think it's interesting that this is going this way because we are so hungry for more of God.
Mm-hmm.
I want more of him mm-hmm. that I can get. And the closer that I get to him, some people say, well, the closer you get to God, the more you got to mess with the devil. Don't worry about the devil. The devil's always there.
Mm-hmm.
He's our adversary. That's his job.
And he's been defeated already.
Exactly.
So why I got to worry about somebody?
We are more than conquerors,
right.
Scripture said.
He always calls us to triumph. So I don't want to worry about the devil.
Amen.
Amen. But like Paul said, he said, we're not ignorant of his devices. But you know, you just struck something with me, and I got to share this right now. When I was a young boy, I grew up in the great city of Camden, Arkansas.
Okay.
And I went to his church called Whitest Chapel Baptist Church, right there on Cook Street in Camden, Arkansas, still there to this day.
Okay.
And I remember I was sitting in the choir box one Sunday morning, singing with the youth choir.
Okay.
I was making a joyful noise.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And the pastor got up. It was the Reverend D.B. Green. And he was teaching. And he was reading from Matthew chapter 5, the Beatitudes. Now, I don't know what I'd done. I was kind of a bad boy, depending on who you talk to, growing up. But I'd done something, and I was feeling under condemnation as I sat there in the choir.
Yeah.
I was feeling bad. I'm like, oh, man, you know, I don't know what I did. But I remember that the pastor got up, and he read from Matthew chapter 5, and he read this beatitude, we mm-hmm. call it, that says, blessed is he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness, for he shall be filled.
Amen.
I mean, when the pastor read that, brother, I remember I had goosebumps on the top of my head. Because I know that if I didn't have anything else, I had that. I hungered and thirst. I had this hunger to be right with God. I knew I had that. And that scripture right there locked me in. Oh, I'm telling you, from a young boy, that locked me in because I knew that I was going to get it because I had that hunger. And I'm telling you, many people that are listening to us this morning, they have that hunger for righteousness.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
They have that hunger for God. When you said that hunger, man, that, bam, that just brought all that back to me. And I remember that, and from that day to now, I've hungered and I've thirsted after righteousness, and I've seen the more you understand about the righteousness of God, the more God blesses you because you begin to understand that I'm right with God, not because of anything that I did.
Amen.
I'm right with God because I've got faith.
Amen.
In his righteousness.
Amen.
And that, man, I tell you what, when you got faith in his righteousness, you receive that grace.
That's right.
That's why the Bible says in Romans 5:17, they that receive an abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. The Amplified says, they shall reign in life as kings.
As kings. Amen. As Amen. Kings.
As kings.
Yes.
Man, that's good right there, brother.
Yeah, that is real good.
You know, you reign as life as a king. That's really almost like what Jesus is saying in Matthew 6:33.
Right.
Because he says, and then all these things will be added unto you. So if you're having some trouble wondering, well, it seems like I'm not quite making it and I'm seem like I'm falling short here, I'm falling short there. I tell you what, I'd go back and take a look at that. Because I'm telling you, many people don't understand that what it means to be right with God. God is very serious about this. God is very serious about our right standing with him.
Amen.
Because that's the that opens the door for God to do. God wants to bless you.
Yeah.
He wants to bless you. If when you were an enemy, he gave his son for you.
Yes.
It says that he then makes all things freely, so he ain't happy.
Amen.
God is not pleased until he can bless you.
Yeah.
Oh, ugly, sinful you, walking around, missing it all the time, doing this and that. If you will begin to believe right and quit looking at your behavior, then it opens the door for God to be able to come in and bless you. I know we didn't really spend a lot of time today on Romans 4, but we're going to continue this. We're going to continue this, God willing, next week, and we're going to pick up where we are because I just kind of pointed out that we it's what you believe we should be focusing on and rather than the behavior. You know, many times I go and I see youth groups, and when you look at what they're doing, they don't teach people to believe for righteousness. They teach people, no, I'm sorry, they're not teaching them to believe for righteousness. They're looking at their behavior. And they spend all the time talking about their behavior. No, don't go do this, don't do that, don't do this. And they spend all their time talking about that. If you would just teach people to believe what God said, it will actually produce.
Help them see their identity.
It'll help them see their identity.
Yes.
And you know, many years, I played college basketball, a little Division II school, and did very well there. And I remember before I got there and I got the scholarship, I used to believe that I was a good basketball player, even when I wasn't.
Right.
I used to go around and tell everybody, man, I'm a good basketball player. I know I can take you. You know, I'm a good basketball player.
Right.
And I kept believing that. I'm going to play in the NBA. I kept saying that.
Right.
I believe that. And you know what? It led to me getting a four-year scholarship because I believed it.
Yeah.
And guess what? I became.
Yes.
See, the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he.
Thank you for joining the Victory Through the Word broadcast today. God bless you. We'll continue this great teaching on next week. So you have a wonderful, blessed day in church today, and God willing, we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Victory Through the Word broadcast with Will Wesley. If this program has been a blessing to you, please send your prayer requests, testimonies, and financial support to West Ministries, P.O. Box 431132, Pontiac, Michigan, 48343, with checks payable to West Ministries.